Luke chapter 21, verse 27. This is the reading of God's word. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. Let us hear your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word, so that we'll hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, especially the good news of his coming back to consummate all things, so that we could be with him forever and ever. So, Father, we pray that through your word, that we will see what our Lord has done and what our Lord has accomplished for us. And, Father, bless the one who is preaching, that he will be able to truly preach your word, and let everyone hear it, and not only hear, but understand and believe and obey your word to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is accomplishing the kingdom of God. That is what you're looking at in the book of Luke. And from chapter 21, verse 8, our Lord has been telling us what will happen at the end of the age. But the Bible tells us that the end of age is the period between Jesus' first and the second comings, meaning the end of the age is the church age. In Luke chapter 21, verse 27, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great joy. See, today's verse tells us how that the end of the age will end. It will end by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming of him. And I will ask you a question. Who is coming back? Do you know who this is? He's the one who bore our sins and died on the cross for us. That person is coming back. The one who lived the perfect righteous life in our places, he is coming back. The one who perfectly accomplished our salvation, he is coming back. The one who has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. The one who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, he is coming back. Our Lord and Savior and God, Jesus Christ, is coming back. And he's coming back very soon, according to what he told us. But it's not going to be the same as the first coming, because he is coming back with great glory. He is coming again with the Holy Spirit to judge the world and to save his people. He is coming again with his glorious resurrected body. The day of the Lord. The day in which Jesus is coming back. The day of the Holy Spirit. It will be a terrifying judgment day for the non-believers. As this day approaches, Luke chapter 21, verse 26, men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And on that day, according to Revelation chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, then the kings of the earth and the great men, the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountain. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You could see how terrifying this day will be for non-believers. Horrifying judgment of God, Revelation chapter 9, verse 6. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. It was so horrible, they want to die, and yet they cannot die. See, this is the reality of the end of the age for the non-believers that we see in Luke chapter 21. But that's not what we are going to talk about it today. See, to us, that day is the most joyous and the most blessed day. See, that day is not about the judgment for you and for me. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Our Lord says in Luke chapter 21, verse 28, but when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. You and I will lift up our heads and we welcome Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, Him Himself, is the one who lifts up our heads. Psalm 3, verse 3, but you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. And let me tell you about this day. The day of the Lord's second coming. From that day on, there will be no more sin, no more death, no more mourning or sadness and pain. All the tears will be wiped away from our eyes. There will be no more curse. Revelation 21 verse 4, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. See, in the beginning, our God created the whole universe. He created the heavens and earth. But because of sin, the whole creation is now under God's curse. But on that day of our Lord's return, we will see a new heaven and new earth. And because of sin, the whole creation is now under God's curse. But according to Revelation 22, verse 3, in heaven, there will be no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and His bond servants will serve Him. The earthly paradise, the Garden of Eden, was created in the beginning. But at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal heaven will be given to us. At the Garden of Eden, Satan came to tempt Adam and Eve, and they fell. But at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, that Satan, he will be completely judged and eternally destroyed. At the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, they fell in sin and kicked out of the garden, meaning they were kicked out of the presence of God. But at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, our heavenly reality will be visibly consummated, in which, according to Revelation 21, verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. We will will be with our God forever and ever, and there will be no more sin, thus no more being kicked out of the presence of God. At the day of our Lord's return, the sun, the moon, the stars will not be necessary any longer. Because Revelation 21 verse 23, and the city has no need of the sun or of the moon or shine on it. For the glory of God has illumined it, and its lamp is the Lamb. Oh, His glory will just shine, and it will light up whole heaven. We will not need the first creation. In the Garden of Eden, the way to the tree of life was blocked off. But on the day of Jesus' second coming, we will be all gathered into heaven. And Revelation 22 verse 2 and 14 tells us, in the midst of its street, on either side of the river was the tree of life. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Because of sin, our lives are the life of toil and sweat. But on the day of our Lord's second coming, the eternal heavenly rest will be visibly consummated for all of us. The new heaven and the new earth will be visibly consummated for us. And this world and all that is in it will be forever destroyed. Isaiah 65 verse 17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. Nobody will talk about the world and what we went through in this world, in heaven. Because nobody will remember. And God told us He's not going to even remember our sins anymore. So anything that belongs to this world, all your memories, it will not even come to your mind. Revelation 21 verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. The realm of Satan and sin, all gone. All this is true for us because of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came as a man, defeated Satan, and lived a life of sufferings and persecutions. And died on the cross for our sins, being forsaken by the Father He truly loves, and being resurrected from the dead. Now in Christ, all of this is our eternal heavenly reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. And on the day of His second coming, man, all this will be visibly consummated. Nobody can deny it on that day. On the day of the Lord's second coming, on that day, all the glory will be given to our Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and everyone, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. On that day, all of the Word of God will be acknowledged by everyone to be truth, to be true. On that day, all will acknowledge that Jesus is the true Lord and His true God. Nobody will deny it. Oh, how long we long for that day to come. Because I want to see everybody the whole universe, even those who fight us, when we tell them the truth, keep telling us that they will not accept it as a truth. Even those people will acknowledge that Jesus is true God. On that day, it will be acknowledged that we, you and I, we have been witnessing the truth. All those who mock us, sneer at us, who will not believe what we're telling them, everyone will acknowledge. On that day, they will acknowledge Jesus Christ. And all the glory will be given to him. And the crowns of righteousness will be given to us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, in the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. To all those who love his second coming. The crowns of righteousness will be given. But as we receive it, all of us will give all our crowns to our Lord Jesus Christ, because we acknowledge that he's the only one who should receive all the glory. Because it was him and him alone. And yet, Jesus will share his glory with us. Listen to what our Lord Jesus Christ has promised to all of us. And every time you feel sad, every time you feel frustrated, listen to what Jesus promised us. He says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. He who overcomes and who keeps my deeds until the end, to him, I will give him authority over the nations, and I will give him the morning stars. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garment, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. To him who overcomes, that's you. Because according to the Bible, those who overcome, they overcome by their faith. Faith that he gave to us. To you, all these are promised. And on that day of our Lord's second coming, all of these promises that he made to us will be visibly consummated. No one will be able to deny that we possess all of his promises. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, on the day of our Lord's second coming, we will see him face to face. Revelation 22, verse 4, they will see his face. And on the day of his second coming, our bodies will be resurrected to the glorified bodies, just like the body of our resurrected Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all change. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and will be changed. Philippians chapter 3 verse 21. Who will transform the body? Jesus, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. To the exertion of the power that he has ever to subject all things to himself. On that day, brothers and sisters, we'll have the glorified bodies just like the one that Jesus has. And we will live with Jesus Christ, who is the eternal God, but at the same time a true man. And we will be able to hold him, hug him, look his face as he looks at our faces. And we will be with him forever and ever. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 10. Who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16 and 17, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall always be with the Lord. And the passage we read before, Revelation 21 verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God will dwell among them. John chapter 14 verse 1 through 3, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me, he says. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Yes, on that day, we will see him face to face, and he will take us to where he is. And we will be with him forever and ever. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the purpose of Christianity. It has nothing to do with this world, what you're going to be in this world or whatever it might be, because all those things will be destroyed. Because he gave us new heaven and new earth. On the day of our Lord's second coming, on that day, who will be just like our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, in His humanity. You know, we were created in the image of God, and on that day, the reality of that image being perfected in us will be visibly consummated. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, For by these He has granted us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Did you hear that? You are the partakers of divine nature. Of course, all this is true already accomplished spiritually. But on that day, all will be visibly consummated. No one will be able to deny it because they will see it. And we have confidence in the work of God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. I know my God began His good work in me. Oh, I'm not final product. His work is not done. But it's as if it is done, because we could have that guarantee that what is accomplished spiritually, it will be visibly consummated. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this is the gospel. Very simple. The Lord is coming back again. Do you understand? You know, you might think that you have so many problems in this world, and you're trying so hard to solve those problems. The true solution to all your problems is God coming. When God comes, then everything will be okay. That's the true solution. Because even if you solve one problem in this world, you're going to face another. And it will continue. Sometimes it will get worse and worse. But when God comes, no more problems. Because our main problem is our sin. And you could even say all these other problems that we face, it's because of our sin. And this is what I want to do to you. Preach the gospel, telling you that Jesus is coming back. Brothers and sisters, you who are tired, going through many sufferings and persecutions right now, you who are exhausted for fighting with this world and sin, you who are fatigued because of illnesses, and I could name so many things that you might be going through. But remember, brothers and sisters, that those sufferings and those persecutions, those difficult times and the illnesses, whatever it might be, I'm telling you, they are not forever. Because our Lord is coming back. You know, Revelation chapter 1 verse 7, it says, Behold, He is coming with the clouds. When Bible talks about His second coming, when it describes His second coming, it always says, He is coming back. I want you to notice that the word coming is in the present tense, not the future tense. He is coming. This is how the Bible says it. You might see Him even today. Oh, how we long to see that. What holds you in this world? What is more important than we see Him face to face? Jesus has already come spiritually and wiped away all our tears. He comforts you right now with His word. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He is our eternal husband who is delighted in us. He is pleased with you because you are united to Him. Because you are in Him. You need the answer of what is the chief end of man. Because you've been studying that ever since you're young. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy God forever, that is the chief purpose of man. But today I want to ask you, what is the chief end of God? What is the chief purpose of God? It's to receive glory through you and to enjoy you forever. This is what heaven is all about. You enjoy God, and He enjoys you. The perfect love. A love that you would never experience in this world. We know a little bit of it. But on that day, we will know in full. You know, I could tell you all kinds of so-called good news. But compared to this, that Jesus is coming back, it's nothing. And this is the frustration that I have as your pastor. And this is about frustration towards me, too, not just you. That we just don't know how serious this is. How important this is. How precious this is. That Jesus is coming back. Because all your focus is the problems of this world. That's your concern every single day. Completely ignoring the true solution that the Bible speaks of. We're going to look at the verses that are coming after verse 28. There it talks about two states. One being awake, the other being asleep. According to Bible, being asleep is that you have no interest in his coming back. You're sleeping. Think about it. If you're waiting for someone, you know, I give an example, your mom who loves you. And Friday night you went out with friends and you're not coming home, even though it's past midnight. Your mother is looking for you. And you know she is not asleep. She's awake because she's waiting for you. Do you understand what waiting for someone is? Or the other way around might be true. Your old parents went out and they're not coming back, even though it's after midnight. So you're so wanting to see them, you're waiting for them. So you don't sleep. Because your concern, your focus is they coming back. This is how Christian life must be according to the Bible. No, it's not saying you cannot even sleep, but your whole focus is about waiting for Christ. But if you're truly ignoring him and his coming back, then you are sleeping. And that's not good condition, as we will see in next passage. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm afraid that these days, even churches will not talk about his coming back. But that's not Christianity, brothers and sisters. Christianity is all Christ. And Bible will even talk about seemingly the morals. For example, do not lie. But it says that it commands you in terms of the reality of Jesus' coming back. Why we should not lie? Because he's coming back. Why we have to do this as a Christian? Why we cannot do that as a Christian? Because he's coming back. That's how the Bible speaks. The purpose, the motivation, the meaning is all Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it's not Christian. I don't care how good you think it is, it's not Christian. Live a Christian life, Christians. And I'm afraid that as that time nears, more and more generation coming after and after, they're going to lose interest in the Christian message. They love the world so much, they rather concern about that than heaven and our King. This is why the older generation Christians like myself, I'm on my knees praying, crying, so that you could focus on what is really Christian. He's coming back. Jesus will return to consummate all these things. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation 22, verse 20 and 21. This is how the Bible ends. Go home and read the last page of the Bible. This is how the Bible ends. And I will end my sermon with that. He who testifies to these very things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are coming back. Oh, Father, bless all of us. Bless the young generation that they will have their eyes focused on Jesus Christ. And they will do all things according to what you have told us, why we have to do whatever that we have to do. It's because of Jesus. So, Father, let us live that Christ-centered life, heaven-centered life, so that we could truly bring glory and honor to you. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.